This is Audible.
What makes us healthy? What is it that creates disease or wellness? According to best-selling author and world-renowned teacher Carolyn Mace, you are an energetic being living in a parallel reality. Energy becomes matter, and your inner awareness is key. To truly be healthy, you need to know yourself in a whole new way and live in harmony with your inner voice. In these brilliant and transformative audio sessions, Carolyn explains how honesty, self-love, living in present time, spiritual congruence, and intuition are major players in the state of your health. You'll learn how to become aware of what weakens you and how to strengthen yourself by understanding mystical law as a governing force. As Carolyn teaches, the mind cannot heal. Healing is an act of the soul. Thus, grace and prayer play a major role. Your health and healing is a process of profound inner transformation and an ever-evolving journey toward consciousness and wholeness. And now, Hay House Audio presents What Makes Us Healthy? Understanding Mystical Law and Your Parallel Reality with Carolyn Mace.
Not so long ago, we would never even consider doing a series on health like this. We wouldn't even consider it. The subject of health and our focus on health, our indeed obsession with health, didn't exist. And that's something to think about. It didn't exist. But somehow in the last 40, 50 years, we've developed an obsession with health, healing, illness, what makes us ill, what makes us healthy, what keeps us healthy. And woven into those obsessions are what we could think of as micro-obsessions. How do we not age, but how do we live long? How do we prevent people from discovering our age while living long? How do we not gain weight while eating whatever we want, while thinking we're eating organically, while closet eating all the time? How do we pretend we're living a healthy lifestyle and just define it by eating vegetables and salads while not exercising because we simply don't want to? It's an extraordinary morphing that we have undergone and set into motion during these last 50 years. And so before I can even discuss specific issues about what now comprises our issues of health, I would like to present a different discussion on how much we've changed our relationship with health and how we even understand it in general before we even get down to specific issues. You know, when a population, a society evolves, they don't realize they're doing that. You don't realize you're evolving. When the people entered what we call the Renaissance, they were not aware they entered the Renaissance. They didn't know that a renaissance had occurred until they were 5,100 years into the Enlightenment. And then they realized that a period of evolution had occurred, separating them from what they then called the Great Plague or the Black Death. That somehow a period of intellectual light, enlightenment, had catapulted them into a very different sphere of reasoning that had rebooted them In that same way, we have redefined ourselves in a way that we look at health, healing, life, our relationship with these factors. What makes us sick? What makes us healthy? What do we need to be healthy? What do we require? And what's very apparent to me is that people do not realize how elaborate health has become, how indulgent, that the field of health has become one of the leading arenas of narcissism that we have. And since when should health and narcissism go together? But it does now. And when I look at like why people don't heal, I don't think there has ever been a time in history prior to now when a person could actually look at another, when someone like me, who is a practitioner of helping people to heal, could actually look at another person and say, the reason you're not healing is you're just too narcissistic. You can't get over yourself. You can't get over the events that have happened to you. You think they've only happened to you. And somehow the world should wrap itself around you and apologize, as if the world owes you something. And until the world acquiesces to your moods, to your temper tantrums, you simply won't heal. You won't play the game of life. Boo-hoo you. I've met more people like that than people who are willing to actually heal. How did we get this way? How did we get this way? While simultaneously being a society that actually believes it's healing, that actually believes its own mythologies, that it's eagerly healing. You can't watch television and not get inundated with all these toxic drug commercials that warn you if you take this, your liver will fall out, your bladder will fall out, your heart will stop, but you will be so happy. Or at least you won't be depressed, but you might be suicidal. I mean, if you listen to these ads, the bottom line is stay drugged, America. Stay drugged while making drugs illegal. We become a schizophrenic society, a society that is fully involved in drugs, totally drugged. The spectrum is whether it is legal or illegal. We are a fully drugged society, which means we've become fully dependent on medications, one end or drugs from one side to the other, while believing we are health conscious, while believing we're health conscious. The truth is, we are so out of touch with ourselves, so out of touch, but we tell ourselves we're in touch. We've never been more out of touch. We've never been more unfocused while believing we have been totally invested in being focused. It's completely astounding to me. How did we get this way? When did this start? How did we start this path of great disintegration, of not getting what health is really about? The other day, I was doing my radio show, and the topic of my show was the shopaholic archetype, which is kind of a variation of the addict, as you know. And this person called up and said, in a whiny kind of voice, well, I'm a shopaholic, but I'm also a sex addict. And of course, then he proceeded to say, and I declared bankruptcy, and then he started whining all over the place with me. And I'm listening to him, and of course, I knew that he was on this path of excuses. I immediately thought to myself, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to handle this? Because every part of me wanted to kick him right in the tuchus. Now let's position this for healing. Here's a whiny, spineless 34-year-old. What does he require to heal? He needs a kick in the rear end. He needs to be told what's true. What's true is you're a brat. You overspend because you're unhappy, and you feel entitled to it because you're gay. Because you're gay, you're hurt. And you use your homosexuality inappropriately this way. You tell yourself that because you're gay, society is persecuting you. And that's why you're lonely. Maybe you made up a mythology about your parents, or even if your parents were not understanding. You are indulging that. And you use that for a sex addiction, to indulge your petty little anger, to get what you want, to indulge whatever you want, instead of being responsible with your finances. That's what I should tell him. Because if he wants to heal, that's what he needs to hear. I have 1 minute to tell you what you need to hear. If you think you're going to hear from me, oh, you poor thing, you poor little sex addict, you poor little overspender, nobody understands you. The result of that would be he wouldn't hear a thing, but get to hear what he wants, not what he needs, and that wouldn't help him heal. In our society today, in this soft tech, spineless new age culture, the majority of people might sit back and say, how heartless, how insensitive. Sensitivity has gone into toxicity. What is sensitivity all about? Does that mean you lose your common sense? Does that mean you lose your strength, your stamina, your wisdom? Does that mean you forget how to tell someone to grow up? What does sensitivity mean? Does that mean that you're supposed to sit around and indulge someone when they're tumbling down into a great abyss? Is that sensitivity? Or is that your fear of being criticized for being strong? Which really is it? I don't have that fear. Anyone who knows me knows I don't. And I have this sense of responsibility that says, if you ask me what's wrong and how to get out of your hell, I will tell you. And if you want to project onto me your rage that I've just called it the way it is, you go right ahead and do it, and I will call you on that one too. So I said to him, you know what? If I were your aunt, I said, I'm just saying, if I were, and you were my nephew, I'll tell you how I talk to you. I would smack you in the rear end and tell you to get your act together. If I caught you whining one more time, I'd tell you to man up. Since when is unhappiness an excuse for irresponsibility? But we've made it okay. To show you where we've evolved, we've made unhappiness a part of health and illness. We've made unhappiness a biological issue. Or to say it differently, we've made happiness a biological necessity. I want you to think about that. Now, when the founding fathers put happiness in the Declaration of Independence, they were referring to it as a high spiritual ideal. Not some sort of whininess that says, I will stop traffic, hold everybody responsible, go into a life therapy session, be miserable, wear it on my face, indulge everything, go into credit debt. Why? Because I'm unhappy. But that's who we've become today. And if you look at our society, that's where it's gone. Into a raging entitlement. I'm entitled to this. And you'll rationalize that. It's become part of what you think health and your well-being requires. I require stuff. I require happiness. You require what? Well, and I require meaning and purpose, and I require my highest potential. Oh, and here's another thing. I require that all the mysteries of my life be solved. All of them? Absolutely, every one. You don't want anything in your life to be mysterious? And what would those mysteries be exactly? You want all of them solved. Yes. So you don't want anything in your life to be mysterious. No, I do not. I want all of them solved so that what? And what would be the purpose for that? So that nothing bad can ever happen to me. I don't care about anybody else, but I don't want anything bad to happen to me because it's all about me. So there we are, back to narcissism. Back to it's all about you. And that's the core issue that runs health and healing today. It's all about me. And never before has that been the core issue of health. How did we get here? How did this happen to us? And if you really grasp what I'm saying to you, if you really get how deep this river runs, you'll get that if you build your life so intensely around it's all about me and the mysteries of all about you, you'll recognize that you cannot heal a thing. In fact, you'll tell yourself not to heal a thing in you, no matter how much you suffer. If that suffering is attached to someone or something or some issue that involves someone you are still attached to. Because for you, it becomes a line of communication, something you long still to say to them. You will use your health. You are using your unfinished business. You won't let go. Your connection to that person is your health issue. So now I'm going to go at this through another way that is less personal and more perhaps awesome. Let's come at this from another way. We've actually entered a world we know nothing about. You know, we have a new vocabulary. We have this mind-body-spirit vocabulary. We talk about a mind-body-spirit health template and integrated medicine. And an integrated approach to health. Do you even know what it means to be integrated? Do you even grasp that? Do you even know what your psychic field is as an integrated system? No, you don't. You haven't got a clue. You actually haven't got a clue. You can define it. But experientially, have you ever been fully integrated? Fully integrated. Unconsciously, psychically, spiritually, mythologically. How about this? No. Try that, the big N-O, okay? No, you have not. You know what the word means. But you actually don't know, none of us does, what integrated perception is. What it is to exist as, here's the word, a hologram. We're learning a new language. We don't even know why we're learning it. Suddenly, we are putting new words to things. We are recognizing that I think we need to operate from a holistic template. The concept of holism downloaded into us. Where'd that come from? Why did that happen? How come we went from this linear world of separate, where you get to be a cardiologist, so you get the heart, and you can be a orthopedic person, so you get that system, and you can be a liver person, and you can be gynae, and we'll all be parts of the body. You get neurology. And who wants proctology? I didn't think so. Okay, so you see, where all of us get a separate part, to suddenly, and it was sudden, the idea was born, it came to us collectively, that maybe we should approach ourselves as a whole unit. Where'd that come from? It just came. Now, that changed the rules. So it really was rather instantly that we decided, you know what I think? I think my heart and my emotions speak to my mind and my brain and my body, and I think they sort of operate as a whole system. How about it? And then we began to add to that wholeness. We began to think, you know, and I also think that maybe there's a spirit factor. Saying those words is one thing. How much do you know about each of those arenas that you are now merging together? When you say my psyche and my emotional bodies, my psyche and my emotional archives, reservoir, all that that contains, let me say it differently, all my mythic forces, all my archetypal patterns, and all that they are attached to, and all the archetypal narratives I am now recognizing are involved in my health. That's just in my psychic field. I haven't even gone near my emotional. Are you with me now? When I say integrate it, are you beginning to get where I'm coming from? So I'm saying my whole psyche and all my archetypal patterns, everyone, which is an active archetypal field. How many you got? Who knows? And all the narratives they tell each other are influencing how my emotional self is, and all my emotional history and all the cycles of my emotional history. And now I'm going to drop in my soul life, which I know nothing about because I've never dialogued with my soul. So I have no idea. And all the battles going in my soul, waging and raging, good and evil. The battles of greed. The battles of fear with God. How do you know what's playing out in the fields of your soul? You don't go there. How many of you go there to examine and deal with the battles waging in your soul? How many of you go there? This is who you are. What we've done is we've turned our eyeballs to the back and we've said, okay, we are now acknowledging that all of these forces influence our biology. The new frontier is behind our eyes, not in front of it. This inner space is as vast as outer space. It is one and the same. There are 200 billion galaxies behind your eyes, just like there are in front of your eyes. That's who you are. And when you say something as naive as, there must be one reason why I'm sick, are you out of your mind? You need to get out of your mind, actually. That is reductionism from a previous lifetime, from a previous universe that you no longer live in. That is a question that comes before you entered this hologram of a world you now live in. You are no longer allowed to ask that question. That question belongs in a previous universe you do not live in anymore. You do not live there. That belongs to people who have never looked behind their eye into the billions of galaxies that live there, into the hologram universe that is in fact your native environment. This inner world that is fundamentally a world belonging to the psyche and the soul, through which you must navigate only through the soul, through an intuitive force that you access deeply by knowing your infinite self. It is the home of the infinite self. Your body is your finite self. We've entered the era of knowledge of the infinite self unlike any other time before. In previous times, the infinite self was introduced to us as a spiritual mythical being through saints, through spiritual teachers. And the infinite self was presented as existing through miracles and through awe, through suffering greater than any human being could suffer, so that those around could wonder, how could that human being endure such suffering? She must be a saint. He must be a saint. And that's how we rewarded them. We said anyone who could suffer times 100 and endure times 100 what an, quote, ordinary mortal could do, we must have a name for that kind of person. We'll call them a saint. We'll call them an avatar. We'll call them greater than us, because they must have some kind of power in them that's greater than the mind. The finite self cannot do that. The infinite self must have come forward to do that, the soul. We are living at this extraordinary time now, where that infinite self is revealing itself to have biological influence, to have healing influence, to have creative influence, to be a partnership in acts of creation itself. And in these early days of navigating this new world that we've entered into, the first part of ourselves that has gotten hold of it is the ego. And the ego's taken charge. And so it's the ego that has defined and carved this first entry into this new universe of health, which is why it's become so narcissistic. I will make this new world all about me. Now, when I say the ego, I have to be really clear here about how we have morphed and created this new world of health and healing that we're in, its values, the way it has formed us and we have formed it. Because it's positively intriguing. And what has it done for us? Has it made us healthier? Are we healthier? Are we actually healthy? Isn't that a rich question? Do you actually consider yourself healthy? Do you actually consider yourself a psychologically strong person? Do you actually consider yourself an emotionally strong person? Do you actually consider yourself an integrated and balanced person? How do you think about yourself? What are your needs? What are your values? Do you think about yourself as needy or as independent or as interdependent How do you define yourself? Are you somebody who, when you get up in the morning, do you immediately go into negativity and sad space? Where do you drift if you leave yourself unattended? Do you drift into woe is me, poor me? Do you make up things in your head? What kind of narratives do you tell yourself? Poor you, not enough? Or plenty and how lucky I am? Where do you go? Do you have to be reminded to be appreciative? Are you someone who thinks life just dealt you a bad hand? And that's all there's to it. How do you see yourself? Do you feel as if you're like entitled to more and something somehow or other just didn't go right? Are you still angry at someone? Are you angry? Is there a lot of anger in you? And if so, what are you angry at? What are you angry at? Do you nurture anger? Is that something you do? Like, do you tell yourself, I have a right to be angry about this, and you just keep staying angry? And years go by and you're still angry about something. Well, you're still angry about it. And maybe the person you're angry at doesn't even remember who you are. But you are still angry, boy. And it is worth your time, your attention, your emotion, your biological tissue. Absolutely. Because you're so important to that issue on that one day to stay angry. I just need to put things in proportion to that. Or someone may still be angry at you in exactly that way, and you could care less. I've had that experience where people have come up to me and said, I've been angry at you for years because of something you said at a lecture. And they think I remember them. I don't even remember the lecture. I don't even remember being in that town. And of course, I have that dumb blank look on my face. So when they start, you know, carrying on, I really am detached. As far as I'm concerned, I've never seen them before in my life. And if they think I was lecturing to them, they have to think again. And besides, now that years have gone by, I don't even believe a thing I said back then. So I don't even know who I was. I mean, so I said that. Wow. You know, it's like, why did I say that? You're absolutely right. I shouldn't have said that. And I just keep going. I'm not that person anymore. I mean, really, do you see what I mean? How silly. But these are questions that are so extraordinary about how did we become who we are? How did we morph into it? And what have you in your personal self created as a weave of values and a weave of power zones that have become integral to your health? All of these factors are really a bit of a phenomenon of our time. And that phenomenon has given rise to a quality of ego that did not exist before, ever. And it's called the inner self. The inner self is a new self. Believe me, your grandparents and your parents, depending on your age, did not have an inner self in the way you do. They did not. Sorry, but they didn't. No. Time had not happened where the psychic alchemy of evolution was such that the inner self was animated as a necessity, as it is now. Nobody told your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents to spend hours, months, and thousands of dollars developing their inner self. Would they even know what that is? No. Would they ever make a sentence like this, my inner voice told me? Would they even feel comfortable saying such a thing? You take that as a voice of authority. And let me further tell you that your inner voice is your actual best friend. You would break off friendships with people because they did not respect your inner voice, who is your actual intimate best friend. Your inner voice is a second other for you. That's how real your inner voice is. It's what I call your inner Pandora. It's your Pandora's box. The part of you that knows all your secrets, your shadow. Believe you me, your inner self is your deepest, truest best friend. You won't go into a relationship because of this, your inner self. Your inner self is all about protecting you, your boundaries, your time. Your inner self talks like this. That person wants too much of our time. You're in our space, my space. It's your inner self that says, it's too much of our space. Because your inner self, that anomaly of an ego that is new to our time, is an ego that is hell-bent on your survival, not anybody else's, yours. And it will take down anybody, anybody that threatens its survival. Because it's all about itself. My needs, my this, my that, will hang on to any wounds that ensure its longevity. That is the inner self, aka Pandora. And that is a phenomenon of our time. This extraordinary phenomenon of your inner Pandora. This is the strongest force you have in you. There is no other force you have in you, often mistaken as your divine voice. It is not. It is not. It is the force of your ego times 100. It is the ego phenomenon of our time. It is the ego times 100 that is braced for not only its own survival, but it smells survival issues of the collective in the air. Because the ego is the navigator of physical survival itself. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to help you survive. It has been my experience that healing is often in collision with Pandora, with your inner Pandora. They do not work in harmony 80% of the time. Because your Pandora perceives healing as its own demise. It simply will not permit it. So you may look like you're healing, you may act like you're healing, but you're not. In fact, 90% of the time, you're becoming even more maniacal. Even more self-sabotaging. Because the last thing you want is to get out of the hellhole you're in. It's astounding. And this is the work of Pandora. Why would it be like that? Because we've created such an indulgent field for narcissism that looks like healing, smells like healing. We have created a world, a society that's so indulgent of the wound, the victim, the person who says, I'm trying. I'm doing my best. And we've become so afraid to say the truth. Truth has become the most difficult language. Excuse has become the easiest. It's become very difficult to say to someone, you're not trying at all. It's become very difficult to stand up to the wound, to Pandora. It's become very difficult to say to someone, I don't want to listen to your wound, your excuse again. so that the messenger, the truth speaker, has become the rejected one, the person who really can get you out of your hell, has become the enemy. The healer has become the enemy. Mm-hmm. The person who really says, you've got to stop talking about yourself. You've got to stop talking about your wounds. You got to knock it off. You're an addict. Everyone knows it. You got to get out of your self-pity. Everyone knows it. I know husbands and wives who've been married for decades. They've never said an honest word to each other. The very thought of it terrifies either one of them. They speak lies fluently. Fluently. They can't say one honest word to each other. Not about how they feel sexually. Not about their disappointment in each other emotionally. Neither knows one true thing about each other. And they call each other husband and wife. They are stranger to stranger. The inner Pandora knows more about them than they do with each other. And they're physically intimate with each other. But they exchange not one word of truth. In this new world that we're living in, the central healing ingredient is truth. Truth. We've entered a world where the major alchemical ingredients of what actually heals you are invisible. They're not visible. And they begin with truth, becoming congruent, becoming able to manage congruence, to be able to own what it is, to know and identify what it is you believe, whether you can make your life choices according to those beliefs. Because in this world behind your eye, in your inner galaxies, there are no secrets. There are no secrets. Energy can't lie. That's the thing about the difference between the world you've come from and this world. The rules have changed, and you don't get that. You don't get that. So you might still look at someone and talk and act and do the same old behavioral patterns. The thing is, they're affecting you differently. They're affecting you twice as much at an exponential speed. So if you are someone who has a habit of not answering a question honestly, it's going to affect you 10 times as much. Because you're now playing in a world where energy has more authority than matter. You can't get away with it. You cannot live in a world where you are studying the effects of energy, attitude, beliefs on your health and think that that's where it's limited. Where is that? Where are you going to draw the line there? Do you not think that's going to affect your business, your garden, your home, your taxes, your relationships? Where are you going to draw the line exactly? You are now living in a world where energy, the laws of energy, influence the health of everything or the disease of everything. One of the great illusions of the ego is that the laws only apply to you, only when you want them to, and only to an illness, and that you turn them off. This is the egocentric narcissist. You start learning the laws of health and the laws of energy and matter, thought and form, the laws of vibration and matter, the laws of higher consciousness, cause and effect, action and reaction. Those are the governing laws of the mystical realm. They simply are the governing laws that happen to apply to health, illness, creation, relationship. They apply to everything that exists. Not just to, I think I'm not feeling well today. What's the one reason? It must be in my childhood. Am I reducing that way of reasoning to the foolishness that it is now? Can you now begin to see how foolish that is, that that question cannot even be answered? It's so ridiculous. It's like asking someone, what grain of sand on this beach is mine? That is the equivalent question. If you come into this world, you are coming in to a universe with a whole different game plan, a whole different reality. And it's not just about health. It's a whole different reality in which the operative force is truth. Truth. And the capacity to manage truth with clarity. And that's the operative force in your health. In the old world that you came from, it never even occurred to you or your doctor that truth had anything to do with your health. Not at all. Not at all. In no way did anyone ever say to you, tell me something. Do you betray yourself a lot? Because if you do, I have to tell you, your chances of healing this disorder, this arthritis and this lower back pain, is zero. Like it's not going to happen. So unless we kind of deal with a little bit of self-esteem and a little bit of your fear of taking care of yourself, and you're going to maybe walk into a new world with and by yourself, how are you going to take care of that? And how are you going to deal with yourself as an honest person and prepare for that? You're never going to get out of this. So you may as well be comfortable dealing with acid reflux and betrayal and colon cancer, whatever else is going to go on in your body, or rise to the challenge of being congruent and living in a world where you can deal with the consequences of dealing with truth. Because this is the world we have entered into. Look out the window. Look at the world that's crumbling around you faster than the speed of light. The world that we are losing as it slips right through our fingers. The world from the last century, the last millennium. You have lived crossing not just a century, but a millennium. Everyone listening to this was born in a previous millennium. I mean, just think about that. That is an awesome thought. You're from another millennium. We are people from another millennium. That world was built on an entire construct of beliefs that are rapidly proving to be erroneous. Now, let me say this differently. Let me say it again. And let me say this so it sinks in. Because what I've done is just taken your world and put you on quicksand. If you really get what I've just said to you. Let me say it again. And it has to sink in. Everything in that world, from banking to the shape of nations to finances, the way they make their decisions, like this. I think we can take a piece of paper and make everybody sign it, call it a peace accord, and make whole nations of people behave because one person has put their signature to this piece of paper. That whole world has become obsolete in a second. That world is a world where they had problems. Problems have solutions. And that's what they believe. And that's how they operated. Find me the solution. one solution for every problem. That model was taken to health. I have an illness, find me the cure. I have an illness, find me the cure. What is the one bacteria? What is the one virus? That is the model from that millennium, from that era. You've crossed over. We have crossed over. We are now living in a parallel reality, another reality. We've slipped across a Rubicon. And over here, we don't have problems. We have predicaments. Predicaments do not have solutions. There's no such thing as a solution to our problems. Let me position this. You cannot go to the environment with a piece of paper and say, stop disintegrating, sign this. You cannot say to melting glaciers, stop melting, sign this paper. You cannot say to the depletion of the oil fields, we command you by the power of the drone, or we shall bomb you to produce more oil now. We have run out of tricks of the trade. We have come to the end of everything. All of our tricks, all of our power, all of our everything. We have come to the end. Now, what's extraordinary to me is that people don't get that. They don't get it. We are in the last 5 minutes of all of that. Okay? We are at the cusp of a different level of consciousness. We have yet to discover what we are capable of discovering. I say that not to offer you the mythology that some off-planet god is going to come down here and stop an inevitable catastrophe. I don't believe that will happen. What I do believe is that we have within us a phenomenal potential to transition, to heal, to make it through the fire. And we have that because there's going to be fire. There's going to be that. I think a lot of people won't make it. A lot of the people from the last millennium. Because like other crises, they simply won't make it. But a new template of life and health is being born. It is being born. And that new template is coming not from the reasoning mind, but from the intuitive and mystical one. It's coming from understanding what is expected of who you are by your basic and essential design. Your basic and essential design must incorporate the infinite part of you with the finite part of you. You must be able to manage the narcissist in you and break through it, because it's the narcissist that will be your worst enemy. It's that part of yourself that will tell you these things are not happening because you don't want them to be happening. And if you listen to that voice that says, oh, look, the world still looks the same. Still there's Whole Foods. Still there's this. Still there's that. You're telling yourself a myth. You're telling yourself a myth. You're telling yourself to believe that the world is the way you want it to be instead of what's really happening in the world. And what you are doing is you are not participating in the very world you claim to be a part of, the world of the healing arts, the world of healing, in which your capacity is a calling to heal as well as be healed. Part of what is true about the world and what you need to know about healing is that in this new world of what is holism, is that the true healer is one who is called to heal simultaneously with being healed. You cannot shut the door and decide to call yourself a healer and put out a shingle and say 9 to 5 and then look at the world and make it the way you want it to be and live in some Pandora mythology because your wounds are determining your reality. If your wounds determine your reality, you're not going to make it. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult because you can't see the way it is. All you want is the way you want it to be. And that would be true within your relationships, within the world, within business. Where is that pattern not like that? And if you look back on the last 30 to 40 years, permission to create your own reality and see things the way you want has become one of the major threads of health and healing. And that's a very powerful thread to be put into the hand of an amateur. That you are allowed to see things the way you want to see without giving someone permission to step in and say, your life is a train wreck. The way you see things is not serving you. It's not serving you. Do I risk you having a temper tantrum and calling me insensitive because I'm finally saying to you, your life's a train wreck? Because I'm telling you, you've been on a track of self-pity for 20 years, 30 years. You're either going to get off it or you're finally going to hit the wall. But that's as much time as I'm investing in you. Either change tracks or go hit the wall. But no one has any more time for people who have been on tracks of self-pity and wounds for that much time. It's over. And if there's one message I want to communicate very clearly, it's that the time has come, and believe me, it has come, for you to either get off those tracks, get off, and decide to put the best of you to use or not. And if you're going to stay on a track that is fundamentally indulgent of weakness, just own it. But if you get that you have so much more and what your potential is, then just decide, no, that's it. I'm going into my potential. What's true is what's facing us together is that we need to model a new archetype of what it means to be a healthy person. The fear of being healthy and whole is very apparent to me because it's based on the fact that we have not yet modeled an archetypal pattern that embraces what it means to be healthy, whole, and still vulnerable. What we have is an idea of a Hercules, someone who once their hold is invincible, unapproachable, invulnerable, can't turn around and say to somebody, I still need a hug. No, 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 you're healthy, whole, and you're marble, you're polished marble. We have a bizarre idea of what health and wholeness is. No wonder someone doesn't want to go there. Women,